This week on the Push What Likes podcast, we answer some of your questions, talking about what would we do if we started out in SAM again, where would we go for personal training, online or in person, and the best pizza place.
And 3, 2, 1, the guy who invented socks and sandals. What's going on, Daniel?
Hey guys, welcome to the Push Four Legs podcast with myself, Dan Meek.
And me, Tom Hall. What's going on, bro?
Who invented socks and sandals?
You did.
Me? No, sliders.
Well, you're socks and sliders, aren't you? Yeah, that's a patented look for you.
It's definitely me that invented it as well. No one else has ever done that.
I just always, it just reminds me of football, that look. It's a classic footballer. There we go. He's got them on. There you go.
So got them on. Always.
It's because
when you wear your socks indoors in Dubai, they get really dirty because of all the sand on the floor and the obviously tile floors. So it's not like carpet where it doesn't really affect things. You actually get really dirty real quick if you've got I suppose you've got laminate floor, haven't you, there? So
I don't have any fucking carpets.
Yeah, back in Bath, I had carpet, so it was it wouldn't be a problem. I wouldn't need to wear them in on carpet, but you do need to wear them here.
We've got carpet and tiles in this house.
All right. Well, most places have carpet in
the UK. We got rugs. Well, you've got to have a rug in you. I got a Star Wars rug. That's pretty cool.
Star Wars. May the fourth be with you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. That's exactly what it says. No, it does. I bought it. It was a classic. I got hit by an Instagram advert and I was like, oh, that's fun. And it wasn't
anything
it wasn't...
Star Wars. Anything Star Wars with you in an advert, it's like 50% chance you're going to buy it. Bye. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. But it's gotten to that stage. You know, obviously, I think I've had this conversation before. With people, it's like if somebody knows you like something or you've said you like something to somebody once, then that's all they buy you for the rest of the time. I'm just like, great. I once said that I like, I don't know, some Marmite product. It's like, but you love Marmite? Yeah, but it's great. Cool. Yeah. You like bottles? Yeah, great. Thanks. Cool.
I did it with my mum. My mum does it all the time. I said to her, I once said, oh, I really like this chocolate orange. Obviously, every time, chocolate orange. Just get cherry chocolate orange all the time. Cheers, Mom. Yeah, I don't like it that much. I mean, I just liked it at the time, but it's like,
Just get that every week. Every week. I can't remember what my mom just gets me random shit. But I have enough Star Wars based products. I think I banned people. I think banned, a bit strong. Last year I was like, no alcohol, please. Stop buying me alcohol. I don't really drink at home. I only socially drink out.
You're a big drinker.
I'm just like, no. Stop buying me alcohol. I moved in with those bottles behind me. I haven't fucking touched them. Probably have, a little bit, but I've moved in with them and I'm guaranteed I'll move out with them again. I'm pretty sure I've got some of them from previous flats, like two flats ago. I probably should cull them. I was talking about this, my riveting conversations with my clients this morning. I was like talking about, you've got to do a sock cull every now and again. That's you've got to go through your socks and just bin them off. Because I realized there was one today that's got a hole in. Whilst I was wearing it as well, it started getting a hole. I was like, fuck this. Get rid of that one. Threw that straight away. Obviously, I had another socks in the bag. I didn't just go one sock for the rest of the day. So that's a bit weird. And then I did a pants cull as well. Everybody's tuned in for Tom's underwear stories.
This is getting deep already.
I got rid of some pants because I'm sure you do this as well. You have your favorites, and then there's pieces of clothing that you wear quite often. Like today, I've actually got a different hat on today. I don't normally wear a Vans hat. I like Vans clothing, but I find this hat a bit tight. My massive brain or giant head.
Giant head.
Probably giant head. And I've got a hoodie. I like this top, but it's dying. I bought it for £8.
It's dying. It's not dying, Tom.
It's dying. Like, it's fading. It's been washed too many times. But Woody's surprised by it as well.
Woody can't believe faded. It,
I know. But what's going on? How are you?
Not a lot, really. Not a lot, mate. Just played our favourite golf course the other week.
Fire? I hate fire. Don't like fire. I'm yet to play that well.
Yes, links, mate. You're not rubbish on fire. You are. You're awful on fire. But
I've made one eagle there.
What dates are you coming out again? Laura asked me this the other day, and I couldn't quite remember. I thought it was maybe probably
somewhere around there. Yeah,
you didn't book the flights yet. Okay, cool. No.
That's on my to-do list this week.
Mate. No, other than that, just a bit of golf and just like I said, standard work. Helping people as always. Building up for our event in Nottingham, which will be, what's that, 2 weeks away? 2 weeks away on Friday, that is. It's coming around quick.
Jesus.
So, yeah, that'll be good. And then, yeah, that's it, mate, really. Just obviously the usual Coach Carnival cam. I've now, after our text back and forth today, I've now got a picture on my phone saved of Coach Carnival cam to send people. That's just going to be there now, just to send people. Whenever I feel like I've got something to say that just requires a stupid face, I'm going to use
it. I think I'm going to make that one of his faces into a sticker. Then, like,
can you make GIFs? I'm sure you can make GIFs. I need to find a way of how I can do it.
I can make GIFs. Yeah,
make a GIF with his face on it, please, or him doing that. Yeah, you know, he's that with his hand. Or like, do that. Yeah, that one.
Just pointing at.
Or the point of the watch.
Yeah.
When the watch
done, just to send to your clients when they're doing something, just like, get it done.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And then the other thing that I learned, this week actually, which I've been trying to figure out how I can put it into an Instagram post. I'm gonna find a way of doing it. But you know the big huge TikToker, Carby, the guy that goes like this. Like for things like he's the black guy that does those funny videos where someone's got like a soap dispenser and they just twizzle the nozzle and he's like, just turn it around. Exactly. And like, it's really easy. And he just does that with his hands. Isabel was watching a YouTube video and he was on it. I'd be interviewed for some reason. I don't know why she was watching it. And an interview about him when he started. And in his first month on TikTok, he had 9 views and 2 subscribers for a month, posting every day. Isn't it mad? Like the same types of videos as well. Like, and it was just, I'm sure there's a post in there somewhere about like, and he basically on the interview just said, I just did it because I found it funny and I enjoyed it. Like that's all like his intention wasn't to post to get loads of followers. His intention was to post because he thought it was funny. And he thought it was his way of showing like how he, you know, the stupidity, the blah, 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 all this sort of stuff. And it just made me laugh how like, I think a lot of people who do go viral like that and have that unique way of doing things, they never do it from a place of wanting to go viral. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of coaches especially, post because they want to grow. And I don't think that's always the best reason to try and post. I think the best reason to post is because it's what you genuinely believe. And I think if you grow off the back of it, great. And I think that most people you look at who grow and go big, they have their own way of doing it. And the reason that they're growing and got big is because they're unique in what they say. So there's definitely a lesson in there about keep them going as well and not stopping, because like I said, imagine that after a month of posting every day, coaches would just give up. They would just stop.
They would, yeah.
100%. No doubt about it. Whereas he was just like, kept going, and he was just like, just blew up.
And TikTok.
Amazing. Like, really pleased for him because he's a lovely guy as well. Mm. Watching the interview, really nice guy. I feel like I know him.
Ended up getting like a bunch of like high-end fashion, didn't he? Did he do Gucci?
Oh yeah, Hugo Boss. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I knew that, and it was like, I was like, fucking hell, smashed it.
It's mad when you think about it. Mental when you think about it. But yeah, couldn't happen to a nice guy by the looks of it to me. He looked very, very nice.
That's right.
Heart's in the right place.
Cam will get picked up by I don't know, Armani soon. So just watch this space.
I'm sure.
In other news, I'm sure everybody's very excited that I bought a bicycle. So I showed Dan.
He was less than
enthused. I got some people message me on Instagram, so who were excited. Somebody said, "What flavor is it?" I know what that meant. I was like, "I think you mean make," but I'm gonna go with this one. I was like, "It's black, so chocolate flavor." I don't know. Like, is that what you wanted? She was like, I meant what make. And I was like, well, you should probably say that then. Because you know I'm going to come back with a sarcastic comment. That was definitely the case.
That's not you, like you, Tom. Sarcastic comment?
No. Sarcastic. Absolutely not. For everybody who's interested, I have a Pinarello dogma. I feel dogma is a very bad word. Isn't dogma is right? It's a bad word, right? So a bit weird.
Yeah.
It's the first bike I've ever had to plug into electricity. So, and it's not an e-bike. A bit weird. Apparently the gears have to have some electrics in it or some sort of battery. I think so anyway. Who knows? I haven't actually cycled it yet because it got delivered yesterday. It hasn't got any pedals. Spend all that money on a bike. I ain't fucking got any pedals. That's insane.
Take it back, mate.
Send it back to the dealer. Is that where they are? No, I bought it secondhand because I'm a old looking for a good deal, me. Good deal. Down market, wasn't I? Down docks.
Down mark.
that's where I was. They were like, buy a bike, any bike. And I was like, £1. And then he was like, £5. And I was like, £2. £5. Yeah. So I paid five grand.
Yeah, so you ended up paying £5 for that. So that's good, that,
Joking, I didn't spend that much. That'd be insane. Nice, mate. That's been my week. That's been really exciting. Obviously, it's Easter here. It's not Easter over there because that's the wrong religion, Daniel.
No, we have an Easter break, though. Like,
you have an Easter break.
Around that time period. Okay. But yeah.
But so. You can't even, not even chocolate over there. You can't even celebrate that. You can't celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ either. So
that's what everyone, because of course, that's what everyone in the UK is doing.
As we full well know, Lent is happening, and it's where Jesus Christ gave up Easter eggs, or he gave up chocolate, and then he comes back on Sunday, and we get all the chocolate. Yep. That's exactly what everyone remembers
when they're getting their eggs and everything. They always, always remember that. That's always in the back of their mind, isn't it? That
correctamundo. Yeah. Yeah, that's what's happening. Yeah. But yeah. Anyway, I'm watching Full Swing. I'm two episodes into series two.
Oh, okay. I won't spoil it for you.
I know what's happened. I was present throughout the whole fucking thing watching.
That's
golf.
It. They wait till you get to the Ryder Cup bit and you'll be like shocked, surprised.
What? No way.
Oh my God.
I hope Europe wins. Yeah, so that's my, and I'm still on, everybody on my TV watching, everybody needs to know this. I'm still making my way through New Girl. If anybody knows that Megan Fox has just entered New Girl, so that's made it a lot better.
What's New Girl? Don't even know.
You don't know New Girl? Well, it's an old...
Is that Zooey Deschanel? Zooey Deschanel was in that. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, so...
I do remember that.
Yeah, I never really watched it, but I always enjoyed it. It was one of those shows that if it was on, I'd watch, but I never followed it all the way through. So I know random episodes, but I don't know this actual story. Right. So I'm watching it, and it's just silly. It's just nice to shut off, and it's silly. That's what I like. So that's what I'm doing at the moment. I think I'm on season 5? I don't know. I don't know how many seasons there are. Usually like 7 or 8 in America. Nice. But yeah, it's fun. Daniel, my first topic for you today. We've got some questions, by the way, before we ramble on, because Dan came fully prepared, as always. And I thought I'd do a classic Instagram questions. It's always very hit and miss on Instagram on whether you get lots of stuff back, especially for podcast listeners, because I'm assuming we have followers, but... Not everybody listens to this. If everybody would, it'd be fantastic. So, yeah, we'll stop it right here. Stop right here. Go fucking rate us. Go share it. Go tell one person. Share the pod. Pass the pod. That kind of thing. That's stolen from Peter Crouch. We never do this early in the show. We've also never... I don't think we've done it for the last 100 shows in terms of ask for anything. So, go fucking rate it. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Wherever you are, on Spotify, or it's literally right there. Stop. All right, good. Or pass it to someone you find. It was another coach, probably. Don't just pass it to someone who might enjoy it. I'd assume another coach would probably be our niche now, isn't it, really? That we mainly talk about. No? All right, good. Thanks, Dan. Good input.
Easy, then.
Straight away. glazed over, bless him. It's a long day for you, isn't it?
I was just trying to find some more reviews, mate. I'm trying to think where the last one was that we...
fucking ages ago. Like, I don't know. Yeah, we've got like nearly 150 reviews on, which I'm convinced they fucking expire on Apple. So we've got lots of 5-star ones then. Yeah, I don't know. It's just a long time since we've had one. And then Spotify is pitiful. But yeah, but most of our people listen through Apple. So that's why.
Apple's the better one to listen to, isn't it? Let me just have a little look.
Well, it's the fucking same. I listen to everything through Spotify because I'm a Spotify kid. But
it's been a year. Yeah. It's been a year since we have.
Been a year. That's probably the last time we asked for.
Yeah, probably was.
Yeah, give or take. So yeah, and it's probably saying Tom's shit. Doesn't know
what
he's talking
about. Basically, most of them say, you know, Tom's really stupid. He should shut his mouth. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, there was one. I remember one. It was had a go at me for not talking my ass about Joe Rogan podcast. I was like. Never watched it.
I can't believe you dismissed Joe Rogan, Tom.
I'm never going to watch it, so I don't know. But yeah, it will
be good. People watch it. Just go and do it, just so that we know people are still listening.
I know.
That'd be a good one.
That's the thing. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, it's like some of these are from 6 years. We've been doing this a long time, Tom. 6 years ago, 7 years ago. Some of these 8 years ago.
Fucking hell, yeah.
8 years ago, some of these reviews. That's fucking mental. I completely forgot it was that long.
Well, the only reason why I remember is however old Isabel is.
Correct. I mean, that's always good.
That was when I had to cling on to Dan being my friend because he had got a child. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked, to be fair.
Anyway, with an so number one topic is I want to talk pizza because there was something today where Papa John's is getting rid of 10% of its stores in the UK, and I was like, "Fucking good, it's shit."
I was gonna say, I'm surprised it's even got any left.
I was like, "I'm what for 10%? It's getting rid of like one of the 10 that it's got."
Yeah,
like, fucking great. In terms of bigger pizza chains. Can we do a ranking? I think we've got to write them down first. Just off the top of our heads. I haven't got a thing. So we've got pizza, the classic ones that I get 50% off. Oh, someone gets a taste card through their bank account. Oh.
Pizza Express.
Pizza. Well, we're going to go with the Hut first. Fucking hell, mate. Jesus. Someone was posh, weren't they? Fucking Pizza Express. First one.
Yeah.
Pizza Express.
Fucking go to the market. Pizza. I'm joking, mate.
Pizza Express. Pizza Hut. Obviously Domino's. We got fucking, what did I say? Papa John's. Probably the stuff now, and I know that you like enjoy it, is Franco Manca.
Franco Manca, that's probably a chain now, isn't it? Just
yeah, the chain, 100% is a chain. What else is there? Pizza Go Go?
They're the ones I know. They're the only ones I know, mate.
Pizza Go Go is definitely a franchise. I don't think it would be a chain.
I'm trying to think of any.
Scream down your headphones. Pizza.
Prezzo count?
Pizza Pilgrims. But that's Prezzo, new age.
Zizi's? They're not really pizza places, are they?
Pizza Pilgrims, but I don't know whether you've ever been. And I feel like that's very... Pizza Pilgrims, I feel like it can only be surely in London.
Must be. Domino's, Papa John's, Pizza Hut. Zizi's is apparently a pizza chain.
No, it's not.
Bella Italia, that's not one, is it? Fire away.
Our story worked with us getting chopped.
Yeah, that's all of them, mate. That's all of them.
I think that's all of them, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Can't we? Leeds. All right, okay. Pizza Pilgrims is in other places. Nottingham, Brighton, Oxford, Leeds, Victoria.
Did you know that Domino's sells a pizza in Britain every 3 seconds?
Is it? It's pretty good, isn't it?
That's fucking impressive, isn't it?
that's how many clients we sign up,
and it costs $370,000 to have an initial investment in a franchise.
Yeah, should we do that?
Probably worth it, isn't it? You're definitely going to sell enough pizzas to cover that.
A lot of pizzas. All right, can we rank these then? Are we getting rid of Pizza Pilgrims? I feel like it's too bougie.
Yeah, I don't even know what the hell it is. Never had one.
Cool. Pizza Go Go, I think we'll get rid of. So I think it's these five. I think are the ones that people are mainly going to go to now. So we've got the Hut, Express, Domino's, Papa John's, and Franco Manca. I think those are the top. Well, these are the most popular five, I would say.
Franco Manca is number one.
Franco Manca is a different quality. Obviously, it's all sourdough. It's a bit bougie, I'd say. But Franco Manca is number one.
Yeah, cool. Franco Manca's number one. And we're just going to just do it based off quality right now. Because I know people screaming down the phone, like, oh, I don't want to leave my house. I want to get delivered to my house. It's obviously Domino's getting delivered. So I get that. Right, I get that argument. But Franco Manca is the best pizza quality.
Franco Manca, I can get it delivered.
Well, yeah, you can. Because you're fucking delivery in London, aren't you? Everyone's got that luxury. So Franco Manca's number one. And I have to say, I'm going to put it out there that Pizza Express is bomb.
I totally agree. I've never had a good experience in a Pizza Express. I've been like three times. I hate it every single
time.
They're neither
thin nor thick. They're neither like well topped or not. I just never had a good one. I never have a pizza from Pizza Express. Just like,
just an FYI, if people are in London and you want a good pizza, there's three that I would go to for three different types. Right, home slice. Well, actually, there's probably four. But these are the ones you're going to be able to get into because the other one that I went to the other week, you're not going to get into. Not because you just have to book or fucking wait there for 6 hours. Home Slice for thin and massive. Japes for Chicago Town. For all Chicago-based ones. Actual pies that are deep. And then the best pizza in London is Detroit Pizza. Mm-mm-mm.
I want to try Detroit pizza, you know, the thick one to like crispy edge.
That's exactly what they do. They're like big pan, like square pies.
Yeah. And so at the same place, when I'm back in London again, you can take me there, Tom.
Yeah, at the same place, because they just opened another one in Angel. They have deep fried lasagna as well.
Oh, that sounds good.
It looks incredible. Yeah. I've not had it yet. I'm so excited. So
yeah, Pizza Express at bottom. I think
from bottom has got to be Papa John's, because I don't rate
Papa John's. Papa John's.
And I've always had a bad experience with those. Also, their stuff, like, I've just rate the other two because their stuff crusts a bit.
Yeah, and I have to say, I mean, I think this could be controversial. People maybe don't like it, but I think Pizza Hut's number two over Domino's.
100%. We are locked and loaded. I totally agree. Pizza Hut is number two, and then Domino's is too salty.
Yeah.
It gives you more desert mouth than any of the others.
And the other thing about Domino's is I just really don't like the fact that the last two pizzas I saw from them were carbonara and lasagna. Come on. Just stop ruining it. You just don't see Pizza Hut doing that. Do you know what I mean? They just do classics. Pizza Hut's just classic, like brilliant. Yeah. Stuffed crust. Don't Pizza Hut do the stuffed crust with the pepperoni as well?
They also do the stuffed crust turned around. So they do the bites.
Exactly. Pizza Hut is the one, isn't it?
Whereas Domino's don't do that one.
Pizza Hut's the one for me.
Pizza Hut is the one. Correct. And then you get all pepperoni.
That was easy. That was easy, wasn't it?
It was good, wasn't it? Good. Nice. It raised when I saw Papa John's, and I was like, good, fucking get out of business. Go away, Peyton Manning. I've got a picture of Peyton Manning next to me. So, hey.
You love Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning, yeah.
Greatest which one would Coach Carnival Campbell have, though? Because whichever one does a chicken, pulled chicken base.
I'm going to request on his next post when he goes out. It's like, what do you have when you have a pizza?
Just the pepperoni at the top.
When you maybe go out to the... That's too much like seasoning, no? In a pepperoni?
Surely.
I liked his... Yeah. Where did he go the other day? I commented on it. Because I requested something. my other thing is still getting likes. But like 140 odd likes on that other thing. Posting
that. I love him actually still talking about that.
It still pops up on my Instagram every other day. Like somebody
the best one was the adding butter to the coffee one recently. That's
pretty good. Added butter to the coffee.
One of the comments on the top was, carnivore diet simply looks like the shittest, most unenjoyable diet ever. Yep. Yeah.
I think he was talking about breakfast or like something. I don't know. I really want him to do. So I put a comment on there. It hasn't taken off. But I would like to see him do it was a mixed grill. It was a carnivore mixed grill, like full platter. And he had like prawns and stuff on there. And then like obviously cow and whatever. Also no steak. When I saw prawns, it didn't really resonate with me. I was like, that doesn't feel like a carnivore diet, but obviously it is. But what I'd really love him to do is a day in the life of if he was like a caveman carnivore. So he has to go and catch everything he eats. Wouldn't that be great? I'm just imagining him. I feel like catching prawns, he could probably do, but not hard, but like him to catch a cow and do everything with it, or like eat a badger or something like that. I'd watch that one.
I'd watch him do that. I'd watch him hunt his animal down.
Hunt his animals, whatever animals he's going to hunt. He's going to hunt some like fucking cheese. So probably.
Yeah.
I've stolen this egg off this angry chicken. It's just like, I'd bat the chicken. It'll be like that on Family Guy when that massive chicken bites like beats up Peter. I'm imagining after him sneaking off with an egg. Anyway, these are the things we talk about on this show. Let's go into the actual questions. And I also do have a little... it was raised as a topic in Until. That's where I'm based out of. My one-to-one coaching today. It was only raised today because I think I was talking about it. Because obviously I do posts to trigger people. Shock. And then, squatting. So I was doing a squat, right? And then I was using a bench, my cool benches when I put it down to a decline. But then I put it to a decline so I can hit like a better range. And why I use it for an external cue, right? So back squats and stuff. Obviously, my triggering post was like, you don't need to fucking back squat runners. Fucking go goblet squat, the heaviest kettle, but like dumbbell thing. Maybe you can do this. But it was more the case of then the argument the argument, because I made the argument for and against both sides. I couldn't give a shit of full range of motion versus partial range, because obviously I'll put most runners into this fucking category. If you're probably training for running, you don't have to train to full range in terms of squatting, but
how dare you say that, Tom?
But there is more evidence to say that there's probably more gains and benefits to train to full range, but you don't have to. There's nothing in your sport that says you have to. There's also the benefits of maybe you're never going to have to hit full range or whatever from your run or your stride length or your whatever. It's very limited. But and then you go into I don't know, Olympic athletes are doing full range squats and stuff like that. Some do, some don't what the benefits are. Do you have a take on this, Dan? I feel like you're a full range monkey.
No, look, I think like you just said there, it depends on how functional you want to be, right? If you're looking at primary, if you're looking at, okay, I want to be a runner. I want to be able to run as much as possible. I don't want to be too sore. I want to maximize the stuff I can do with it. You could argue then, yeah, not every single session needs to be full range. You could argue that there's benefit of some partial range and being strengthened through the range you need to work it. I still think there's an element to it where joints and ligaments and tendons need to be taken through a full range. Allows them to be stronger and you know, more resilient. That I think is probably beneficial. I think if you start to do partial range like Joel Seaman, I think that's where your injuries will occur, when you then have to stretch them into a full range of motion when you're not used to going to that range. I doubt it's the muscle that's going to be too much of an issue, but it's just that with running, we know that the overuse on ligaments and tendons is going to be something that's going to be an issue potentially. That'd be my view on it. I just don't want people to use it as a cop out, because
the annoyance for me is seeing the I'm a runner put a fucking bar pad on their back squat, and then they're in their fucking running shoes and they're squatting 60 kilos but to partial range anyway. And then obviously the argument, I was put a fucking bench next to you, I do it, I can squat to full range, but I'm gonna get that little external cue to tap of knowing where my kind of wink is, and it's just all right, I'm gonna do that anyway. And I just do it to control depth more than anything else. I can take it away. It's absolutely fine. But then there's that bounce out at the bottom, which is what you alluded to in terms of the stretch reflex and what you're training in that deep tier of plyometrics. If anybody Google deep tier plyometrics, and you'll know what I mean in terms of most people think it's about stiffness and being very straight, but you can train plyometrics in full range where your ligament's full stretched. And then you get those elastic properties, is where the knees over toes guys. Cool. Oh, yeah. Awesome. They're fucking patella tendons going nuts, and that's why they're getting some elastic properties going through that, and they're not going to get injured because they can stretch at that length. So that would be, I think, just there's possibly more benefits to train full range than there is the partial. Obviously both is correct, but we can't just say that, can we? We've got to say one side or the other. So I would prefer, if I had to pick one, I'd prefer people to train full range, goblet squat like nuts, and then go from there. But yeah, by the time this comes out, I've already given I've given a fucking full squat continuum way for free. Fuck.
I think there's also a benefit to training full range of motion with some external load. I don't think it has to be maximal. I think that's the other thing. I think that a lot of people think that they have to do one rep max, three rep max, really heavy, full range of motion. I think there's actually a lot of merit to going, actually, if you can take 70, 80 kilos for a full range RDL, for example.
Yeah.
It might not be your max, but I still think you're putting your muscles through more tension and load than they're going to experience when you're out running. So it's going to be an adaptation that's beneficial.
This was my post. Is it today? I don't know. Tomorrow? I've got one coming up about core training for runners and stuff. And I was I just got 100 kilos on my back and I'm doing a very shallow step up. Most people be like, well, what's the point of this? I'm well, because I've got 100 kilos out of my body weight, that's quite a lot of fucking load through each of my joints. And I'm going
220 kilos, yeah.
I'm a fat shit. And there's a lot of core stability stuff going on. That's obviously this is an angry post about Boastable training. But it was this is what core training can look like and probably should look like. It's heavy external load, having to brace, having to control something, and being able to jam those hips and keep those feet strong. Because the best kind of core training for me is a carry of a heavy thing. I would quite happily just load somebody up on their back and make them walk in and out of the fucking rack. I'm going to say they're going to have to be pretty switched on core-wise to hold thoracically. I bet they're going to be more clued on than they're doing a fucking plank or a dead.
Yeah, but mate, someone can't press their fingers into their abs and ask them if they're switching them on by doing that, though.
No, fucking...
Switch them on, switch them on, come on.
Put 150 kilos and just walk backwards and then walk forwards with it. I bet you your abs are fucking lit. And you'll be like, ugh. Do it. Like, I get a lot of my guys have got like Zercher, like walk in and out, and they just like load them here in the worst position probably for like kind of front external load where their abs are locked in, ribcage down. And then they're like, thought it was odd. I was like, yeah, quite right.
Yeah.
You want a plank? No, it's boring. Okay, cool. Just weighted. Weight them like shit. Or just be really functional, just weight one side.
Yeah.
That's what crazy. These guys do.
Just one arm Zercher. Fucking hell. Fucking
you say Zercher. I say Zercher. I don't know what's
wrong. Zercher. Zercher. Well, mate, say how you say it because you'll want to use the word more often.
I don't know. Set a post later. I'll see what I'm not going to say. See what ChatGPT says or Siri or something like that.
Yeah. Ask Siri to translate it properly.
No, I'm not going to say that because every time on your Mac, like it fucks up and then I can't hear you. And then I'm like, I have to wait for them to fucking touch. Stop talking. Yeah.
Next question.
That was my topic. Yeah. What is the question? What were the questions? Right. I'm on my Instagram because obviously I'm super cool.
One was, I think, like, what would you do if you were starting out? I think.
If you were starting out again on Instagram, what would be your approach? I feel like it's better for you than me, but I can.
My approach would be exactly the same as it is now.
As it is now, not is, how you, when you started.
Yeah, which is just say, I think when I first started, I made all the mistakes that I tell my coaches not to make, which is like trying to copy what everyone else is doing, think I need to talk about training and nutrition all the time, not being myself necessarily. I would just be 100% true to who I am. I think the one problem I would say that's a bit different there is that, you know, growth's a little bit harder to come by now, probably, and you have to be a little bit more outbound in terms of like your following, you're commenting, you know, you're generally putting yourself out there. I think you'd have to spend a little bit more time making sure that you did that sort of stuff, became a little bit more social naturally. That it would feel unnatural to most people to be that social and to put yourself out there in terms of the comment sections of stuff and following people and not asking for a sale for quite a long time, but just building up an audience, people who know, like, and trust you, showing your expertise, showing your own journey. I'd probably do... if I was doing fat loss people, I'd do a photo shoot. If I was doing strength training people, I'd do a powerlifting meet. If I was whatever, I'd just work towards something like that and I'd document the journey. And I think I would make my Instagram more about me and my journey and what I'm doing than I would about an audience at the moment. I think one of the big things is working on Instagram right now, and people need to remember this, is that people are more bothered about what you're doing and your journey you're on than they are about how you could help them. People are just nosy. They're following fucking people. There's a reason influencers have loads of followers. There's a reason that people like watching that sort of reality TV shite. Because most people like to watch other people's lives because their lives are shit and boring. That's the reality of it. We can call it what we want, but that's what it is. And I think that if you're doing something unique and different, you need to share it. You need to talk about it. And you need to make sure you turn up at least twice a day to do it. And then I'd tweak it based on what was working, what wasn't working. I would try different styles of content, different types of content.
100%.
And I would set myself a year target and go, I'm not going to give up until a year. And then I'd see where I'm at. Whereas most coaches would probably do it for about 3 weeks and give up. Like we talked about Carby before, right? That fucking 9 views in a month, I didn't give up. So I don't think that the advice necessarily has changed too much on that. I think you just need more relentless. And I think as well, I'd be everywhere. I wouldn't just post on Instagram. I'd post the same content on TikTok, on Facebook, and everywhere. Because again, you should, in theory, you would have the time to do that. And I would see if other platforms hit just as well. The reason I'm not on TikTok right now is because I can't be arsed, number one, and Instagram works well for me. But if I was at zero completely, I'd be all over them, all of them. I'd be on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. And I posted my content across all of them. Yeah, that's what I would do. Doesn't sound very sexy, but it's
not, but I would say, yeah, I would concur with most of that because Dan's probably seen from the outside, because obviously I've come to online coaching a lot later than he did. And I have been 100% experimenting with my shit over the last, like, probably, I would say, I don't know, 6 months. I've probably taken my Instagram a lot more seriously and been, you could scroll back and then you could see exactly what it's like. And I'm just looking at it now in terms of like, so obviously you can look on your like reach and stuff like that and what happens in terms of content. You can probably see my shift towards certain things and keeping. I used to do a lot of, because I'm really comfortable in front of camera. Could give a shit. I will say what I like. I'll be fine. I can talk through stuff and I don't mind being a dick. But I think after speaking, obviously, with Sook, he was like, probably need to tone it down and be a little bit simpler. So that's why I've got a lot more simple reels on my stuff, because people who follow me or engage with my shit tend to just want to save it or want my opinion, because they, I guess I've got enough of a status to just be an expert in that area, because obviously I've got the social proof, just hits out there, and then everything that I'm talking about, because I kind of walk the walk, that kind of thing. And my reach is, so I think 30 days, I'm over 30,000 of like accounts, like most of the time now. And that's just, it's just growing and growing, which is really cool, which is a lot better. But this is through experimentation. A month ago, that wasn't near that. That was like at 18,000. And then a month ago, proves that was only at like 10,000 or something like that. And then it was, I remember it 6 months ago, barely fucking reaching. I've got like 3,000 followers, but it wasn't even reaching 3,000 people like in a month. And I'm like, that's not right. I need to sort out my shit, right? That's my fault that it's not reaching that many people. I'm making people aren't interacting with anything. So obviously I've changed how my views are doing, and I'm purposely going after a little bit more growth currently. And that was something obviously I spoke with you about, I spoke with Sook about, but like a bit more. It's like, you probably want to go through phases throughout your, obviously if you're just starting out, but if a lot of you guys will not be, go through phases of trying to hit growth for like a month, 2 months. And then once you've got some new eyes on your content, then you switch your content slightly. Doesn't mean stop trying to grow. Maybe you go from posting 3-4 reels a week that are trying to grow to then going 3-4 reels a week that are trying to be like your an education standpoint, or you're driving home your message a little bit more, or you're putting carousels out for more savable content. So they end up resonating with you. And then those people who are saving that content who have already bought in 3 months ago, who've just been followed, may be in a position to buy from you after 4, 5, 6 months. That would be, but that's taken me fucking my whole life to work out.
Yeah,
but
I think that's the sort of stuff that, you know, after a year of posting, you kind of get to grips with a bit more. I think that's the thing, is people don't really underestimate how long it takes to build up a decent following of people that are interested in what you want you to do, right? And you're in a position where you can do that sort of stuff now, where again, like you plan out each month and you go, right, what am I doing calls to action for? Where am I pushing towards? What's the goal of my Instagram or my social media this month? And people just don't think like that. They just, again, the same with training, right? It's like going through phases of volume, deficits, like surpluses, like all that sort of, we plan it out over the year. You plan out, you know, your periodization of your rep ranges, maybe what you focus on, peaking for competitions. But yeah, you ask someone if they're doing it on Instagram, they go, no, I just post whatever I fancy that day. It's like, well, no wonder you're not seeing what you want to see.
Well, you can directly see, obviously, I was very kind of open with it, and I have with my guys, and I was just like, look, I posted a social proof client story every 3 days for a month, and then did my wolf whistle or whatever, and then I onboarded like shit ton of people, and it was very, very, very purposeful. And then I was like, then I can close my doors for a little bit. It's cool. I feel like I'm full. Yeah. All right. And then we open again.
It's just planning. I think I genuinely think having a plan is a huge part of it. It's just thinking ahead and going, right, what am I going to do? Like, most people just don't do that. They just do not have a plan. They just go week to week, month to month, hoping for the best.
So, yeah. So if we were to start again, I think we'd, go through that. Do your own story. Do that kind of thing. Lean into your personality traits hard. And enjoy it. Have some fun with it and just see what you like doing, because we've said it before, right? The content that you like filming is probably the content that people like watching. And then flick through your stuff. What do you like viewing? What do you like saving? That kind of shit. If it was just me, I'd just be doing food content, because that's the shit I save all the time. So I'd be like,
you can't
good.
Cook, so
how dare you,
mate? I want you to turn into that El Burrito monster. I want you to start doing it outside. Like all the burritos he does, you know, the fucking, I love that. I love watching this stuff.
I don't know that. El Burrito Monster.
The one I've sent you his videos before. I sent you his videos of the burrito he makes. He's outside in the garden. He gets his sword out and he does that on the chicken. And
Sent you on Instagram this. Before. Have you ignored me? You've obviously ignored me.
Probably. Well, it's probably you probably tagged me classically again. But it doesn't fucking show.
No, I thought I sent it to your messenger that one. But again, again, interestingly though, with him, he's another one that he's posted these videos, just reached 1 million followers like recently. And then in celebration of it, he posted some of his old videos, some of his stories, and he basically started in lockdown. And he posted his first ever reels and stuff to his stories and reposted his old stories. Again, exactly the same as he is now. Like, exactly the same. Just took that long to build up a huge following of people. Never deviated, never changed what he was doing.
Well, remember Mr. Beast? Remember the first video of him that went mad was him, was it him counting to 1 million or something like that? He just sat there and counted. Like, he counted to 10,000 or something like that. It took him like, and he obviously filmed it all, and it took him like over a week. But yeah, he just made content that he thought was ridiculous. Like, and he's the biggest YouTuber in the world.
This is the guy I sent you. Let me send you his thing now, mate.
Fucking hell, we're going on to the next question.
Mate. Yeah, but I need you to be able to watch it in the future.
I will so
watch
it.
I can refer it to you because it's fucking quality.
But proof to, I mean, this is literal proof. On I put a little poll up about I'm going to do more kind of show and tells into my clients and my own training. And I put a poll out. Would you like to see a new athlete I've just taken on and doing how I planned out their general preparation phase or my training on Power Day? 80% people just said my training. Yeah. Nosy
fucking boring guys. No one wants to watch it.
No one wants to watch that. I will be doing both of them. Don't worry. It was just like, I just want to see which one I'm going to release first. Yeah. and I clicked on who, like, to be fair, it was like all nosy fuckers that are like runners and stuff on my training. And then the new athlete was just all coaches who have always been interested in how I work. I was like, I could, divide that pretty easy. So yeah. Hope that is good, whomever you are. I can't remember what your name was. If you were to start again as a PT, what gym type would you be working in or would you look to be working in? I guess this
I think we landed lucky, didn't we, really, with what we did.
Obviously we came out of pro football and landed within third space. Very different now. First base,
yeah, I think that's the thing. I don't think the structure that they have there or they had there when we were there probably exists in any gym anymore.
No, it was very PT friendly.
It worked
unbelievably well. It was obviously a shift system, which we got paid to do shifts, which is not the norm. Normally it shifts off rent, right?
Yeah.
So you kind of work for free kind of thing and you get like money off.
But at the same time, the pay we got wasn't great.
Oh no.
Session. But you know, when you look back, I think it always felt like, I think the problem with a lot of gyms is it always feels like they're taking something away from you. Whereas I always felt like with the way that Third Space ran it before, was it never felt like they were taking, they used to, obviously we knew that our cut of the rent of the sessions wasn't great, but they were never taking anything away from us. We were always paid for, like, say, time in the gym for our sessions with our clients. We weren't paid as well as you know, if you were charging 70 quid an hour, you get all of the 70 quid, but then the gym knock on your door and go, right, we need your rent, 800 quid. You need to do this shift for us. You need to do this for us. And it's very much just like, it makes this awkward feeling, whereas I never had that feeling at Third Space. I've never had that awkward feeling because it was a case of the more sessions you do, the more clients you have, the more money of that money you get. So it was like incentivized in that way. And it was such a great system. I cannot believe they changed it around and fucked it all up and did all that shit. But anyway, that's another day, I'm sure. But that for me was the easiest way to grow because you felt a part of the gym, you felt a part of the culture, you felt listened to, and it was really easy to kind of just walk the gym floor and be nice to people and be friendly and pick up clients. I guess, I don't know what I do now. I think I'd be inclined, I'll let you give the full answer on this because you'll know far more than me. Mm. I'd be inclined to join like a pure gym or a gym like that and just fucking get to know every single fucker in there, because I know that in those gyms, the quality of PT is so poor that I could stand out very, very easily. That's my gut instinct on that. I think that what most people would think would be like, oh, I'd join a private little studio. And it's like, there's no fucker there. No one's there to train. You want to be in a gym that's busy, got a lot of people in it. That'd be my gut instinct if you're starting out.
Yeah, the only... That would be number one, I think. You get in a facility that just has fucking tons of people in it because you've job done number one. There's lots of people in there who are interested in training. And even if you'll pick up obviously one-to-one clients and stuff like that, but you obviously won't be getting fantastic pay. But there are busy pure gym trainers that earn good money. That's absolutely fine. But it's also, we're talking new PTs. They're going to be cutting their teeth, learning their coaching skills, learning what they want to do, finding their niche, all this kind of stuff. But in pure gym, your niche is everybody who's in there. It's fine.
Yeah.
But then there's the other way that I've like discussed with people before, a few people that are probably actually in your group, mate. And they've come to me for that, this kind of one-to-one advice. Don't worry, I'll send you an invoice. And then I was just like, what do you, I was like, what do you want to do? It's like, oh, I'm struggling to build online, but I still want to do one-to-one. I know you talk about it on the podcast and stuff like that. I was like, that's fine. But if you can build the one-to-one stuff, obviously they're not in a position to probably afford you to do one-to-one coaching with you, who you actually tell them the answer. But I would be inclined to go to one of those almost semi-private things or CrossFit boxes and stuff like that, and try and worm your way into classes and try and get on a class roster and go that route in, because I feel there's quite a few personal trainers who have built fucking good businesses from just doing classes at like Cycle or Soul Cycle or like a Barry's or stuff like that, and they pick up clients that way. Obviously you have to be a certain personality to teach classes, but then there's also other gyms like,
but that's also the sort of personality that people want out of their training.
Yeah, but there's also other gyms that are similar but more personal training things, so semi-private training like Foundry Fit and stuff like that. So they do have members, but you're going to be almost like a TA, your assistant to the regional manager, right? So they're going to be there, but they're kind of like in and around. Mm-hmm. So you have the WHO members leading the hour or the 75 minute session that the person's doing it. So say me, and then Dan will be there to assist. They have those kind of, but you're paid at a lesser rate, but you're still introducing into coaching and stuff like that. And you can probably pick up clients that way. And that would be a good way of embedding into a system, learning a system and going for it. Like I have a system for training. Everybody pretty much sticks to my systems and that's how we train. And that's how I get results. I don't believe that you can have a lot of clients if you don't have a system. If you don't have one and you're fucking freeballing the whole thing, I think you're fucking mad. You will not be successful. No chance. Financially, you will not be successful. You might have good results, but no chance. So I would pick one of those two ways. If you don't want to go the pure gym method, I would be like, are you a class orientated person? No. All right, cool. Go try and find one of those, not boutique gyms, like private gyms, but it's going to be private in the fact that they run semi-private or group coaching. And try and get into doing a part-time coaching job. So see if you can shadow, then you start to take it on. Unfortunately, it's going to be low money. It just is.
Well, yeah, I think that's the thing as well. It's going to be low money, but lots of hours as well. But don't shy away from that. It's going to be a lot of hours. Of course it is.
But that, I think being able to get into a model like that, like clients that we've worked with, like Bradders and what's his face? They've just opened another gym and they're just group coaching in like East London, right?
Mm-hmm.
They would 100%, if you're in that area, if you're a qualified personal trainer and you wanted to shadow and come in and gradually take stuff off their backs, they would definitely do it, that kind of thing. I know there's a really successful model. So Jean-Claude Vacassine, closed down W10 and then opened Foundry Fit. And there's quite a lot of Foundry Fits across London now because that's their model. So we had the Sam McGowan on the podcast. She started personal training at Foundry Fit. That was her route in. So that kind of thing. And now she's got a good business. So, but she learned how to coach. She learned how to do group coaching. And that was her thing into going into. So yeah, I would do that if possible. Wherever you are based, if there's those kind of facilities, there must be. There must be warehouse facilities and stuff like that you can jump into and do group coaching. So,
I think whatever you do, you've got to put yourself out there. You've got to do loads of hours for not a lot of pay initially, and you've got to build good relationships with people.
Yeah.
And put your personality out there. Like, it's the same stuff as we talk about online, you just do it in person.
Yeah, that's right. Don't complain about getting no clients if you're an online coach and you posted seven times this year.
If you're in person, you never do any classes, you never spend any time in the gym, and you moan that people don't get handed to you on a plate, then sort your shit out.
Go speak to the owner, go speak to the receptionist, go speak to the salesperson, be that person. yeah, everybody else hates you, but guess what? You've got clients, so absolutely fine.
Yep.
All right, next question. Boom, boom, boom. Would you bother with online at all? So this was actually from the same person, because they're starting out. I'm assuming they're starting out to be PT. What you're looking, but would you, from the start, would you bother with online?
That's what you want to achieve. I think with the online stuff, the one thing I would say is you've got to really, really want to be online. You've got to really want to create content. You've got to really want to do it. If you're going to post twice a week and you're going to kind of half-ass it, just don't even bother. Don't even bother. If you're going to create content because you enjoy creating content and you want to have fun with it, do that, then great. Again, it's how long's a piece of string, right? I think at some point you're going to want to look at and expand online, because people in general as PTs, you get a little bit frustrated with the whole trading time for money thing and the early mornings and late nights and things like that, that you could potentially change it online a little bit more. That's an option. But I think the whole trend of everyone moving online is very much geared around, you know, the people are, you know, a lot of mentors are selling the freedom and selling the traveling and selling all this sort of stuff. And it's like, maybe there's an element of that, but it's not as easy as that either.
Did Alex send you this? This is fucking horseshit. He sent it to me on WhatsApp and he was like, have you ever fucking seen this before? Tell me the fitness industry is, he wrote, tell me the fitness industry is fucked without telling me. From an online, I'm using air quotes, online coaches intake form. And if you're listening to this and this is you, disclaimer, even though it is not required, I do not as of yet hold any personal training qualifications from an online coach and their pages for online coaching. However, I am working towards them. All my knowledge is self-learned and applied through my own practice. I am also not a medical professional, so any advice for training you take on board is done so at your own risk, based off your own prior knowledge of injuries and existing medical conditions. Please highlight to me anything you're uncomfortable with or unable to do for a reason. Always seeking medical advice. Can't fucking get insurance. He can't get insurance, but he's an online coach. Don't know if he's got any clients, but you can't fucking advertise it. You can't have insurance. You have to publish your fucking personal trainer qual or equivalent of to get insurance. So if you fucking madness. But that is the issue with, like, if somebody's an influencer and they start doing coaching, that's what me and Luke started reaching out to people with a big following. And we were like, look, we'll qualify you. Like, we're an education provider. We'll qualify you if you want to build, like, monetize your audience. And most of them didn't see the point of it, because they're like, why would I need to do that? It's like, because illegal what you're doing currently. really weird. Yeah, that's the state of the fucking online industry. Unfortunately, that will not happen in one-to-one, because whatever facility you're working at, unless any facility will immediately ask for your qual and your insurance. Because they don't want to get sued. But if you're, I guess, a park PT, I guess they can get away with it. But yeah, tough, innit?
Risky though, if something goes wrong.
So risky. Don't do that, guys. I would say I wrote on a story over that thing, just saying that I would 100, both me and Dan would probably, we concur on this. I would definitely cut your teeth doing one-to-one. And then learn about coaching, then move online. I wouldn't do it.
That's the way I would do it. I think you learn a lot on how things should be done and kind of like gym dynamics and stuff like that, which I don't think, like I say, you can always get from just doing online. I think it's useful.
Yeah. And it's not to say there aren't good online coaches that have never PT'd in person. There are definitely outliers. It's just, it's a generalization that we see most of the better online coaches have coached in person. That's correct. Just simply it. No, it's just a generalization. Yeah. This last question, this is why I open with this. Are socks and sliders, flip-flops acceptable in the gym?
Yes, they are. Socks and sliders are.
Who wears socks and flip-flops? That's got to be really uncomfortable.
That is really fucking shit. I don't like it. I don't like this whole like trend. I just wear fucking trainers. Like, I do not understand why people are doing it. A lot of people wear Crocs, don't they, all this sort of stuff.
Obviously, Crocs, yeah, bodybuilders wear Crocs, don't they?
It's not leg day, is it? It's just upper body day or whatever. I think they do it, but yeah, I just don't like it. something weird about it. One of my online clients, she trains in like Birkenstocks because I think they're really solid. They're really solid base to them. So she's leg day in Birkenstocks. I'm like, but obviously doesn't do any like lunges or anything too dynamic. It's all pretty much machine based stuff.
Yeah,
I thought it was a bit odd, but then I was like, the more I thought about it, I'm like, no, that's a really solid base, isn't it? And it's like, and they mold to your feet, don't they? Birkenstocks. Yeah. So I'm like, the more I thought about it, the more I was like, actually, it's not the worst thing in the world, like compared to spongy Nike trainers. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I've asked like, a few girls that have come on recently. I've asked them to change into like Vans or Converse or just take the fucking shoes off. But then I think it was somebody, yeah, and they were like, I was like, oh, can you take your shoes off next time? They're doing like split squats or something. And she was like, I'm actually not allowed to in this gym. There's a woman that comes around and screams at you if you don't have shoes on. And I was like, this gym sounds shit. I was like, socks. Yeah. Obviously, if you take your socks off, 100% it's fucking gross. But socks, fine. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. So the more I think about it, the more I think actually that maybe they are a good shout for them. But yeah, I just don't like it. Just think wear trainers.
Why?
It's not hard, is it?
No. Don't understand that. I just train in socks most of the time, but my trainers are next to me. So I walk in trainers and then just like carry them around next to me, and then I walk out. But I train in.
Mate, you might as well wear sliders then, mate. You might as well just take your socks and sliders if you're training in socks all the time.
But I'm at work. I'm training at where I work, yeah. So I'm just like, why would I have the sliders? I'm not that like person who brings
sliders and sliders.
Maybe I should. They'll be like, what the fuck are you doing?
So chill.
I'm not that person who like brings sliders to like a swimming pool or like to wear in the showers. Like oh, God, what are you doing? That's fucking weird. Anyway, I know some people who do that. Gross. And also, you shouldn't wear flip-flops. So like, I don't know. I wear flip-flops out and about when I'm with you. And I don't think I can do that now. I'm not a big fan. They're really annoying.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of flip-flops out here. I have to wear socks and sliders for me, mainly.
Sliders is the thing. Flip-flops are... Yeah, they just take it fucking forever to get anywhere.
Yeah. I'm just never not comfortable either.
Yeah. That's right. So, all right. We will cap that there. Strong episode, Danu. Good job. I like it when you guys have to bring the questions and we don't have to think anything. It's good.
Yeah, loads better then. Loads better. It's easy for us.
All right. Any other business?
No. Well, we haven't really chatted about Coach Conor McCann much, but that's fine. We'll have a free Coach Conor McCann free episode.
You went really sad there. You're like, well, we haven't really mentioned anything that he's done.
Yeah, we haven't really, but we'll talk about that next week. It's fine. You know, he's going to be 100K next week, so it's fine. We'll talk about it.
What's important? Right, we're on Cam Watch. What's he on right now?
What is he on now? Let me have a little look.
Last week, he was just about on 50, wasn't he?
He's 58.7 now, so hey. He's growing, mate. He's growing bigger than
he's
growing more than we are.
So. Easy, yeah. You know. I want to get like 500 followers a month, and this boy is going through fucking 1,000 followers a day,
smashing it, mate.
Fucking smashing it, crazy, isn't it? Anyway,
that's up to him.
Well done, Cam. All right, thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next week.
See you later.